You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Mutsi, alongside me as always, three-time NBA champion, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you doing after an insane night in the NBA?
I can't complain, Mo. Only terrific.
where do you want to start? I think we have to start by going, and we'll talk about last night's games, but we'll go a little bit back in time to your Detroit Pistons. In their game against the Minnesota Timberwolves, where there was a slight altercation, shall we say, on the court. I know you want us to talk about this, so let's hear your thoughts.
Well, we've moved on now. The fines have already been assessed. We've moved on. You know, it's great. It's you know, competitive conflict within the NBA. I thought it was excellent for the NBA to get back to the level of competition, and now we moved on. You know, let's talk about the scoring. Let's now, you know, do what everyone else is talking about.
The one thing I don't like is that Isaiah Stewart was given 2 games on his suspension. That's more than anyone else, including DiVincenzo, who started it, because of his history, of a repeated history of unsportsmanlike acts and escalating the situation. I don't like the fact that the NBA's giving him more time as a suspension based on his reputation rather than the events that actually transpired. But it is what it is. And they'll keep moving forwards and they'll face their suspensions. And the Timberwolves had some players, DiVincenzo and Naz Reid, suspended for last night's game against the Denver Nuggets. And it was one of the best games I've watched this season. Nikola Jokic, 61 points, 10 assists and 10 rebounds. And the most impressive fact I might say is he played down the stretch of the fourth and both overtimes. The game went to double overtime with 5 fouls, and he managed to stay out of foul trouble, which was huge for the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards led the way with 34, 10, and 8, but we also had a great game from Julius Randle, who gets a lot of criticism from the fans, but they're starting to see that Minnesota are figuring things out, as he finished with 26, 9, and 7. The game was an absolute thriller. The Nuggets led early, and down the stretch of the game, they had a lead. Timberwolves came back, and the teams went back and forth throughout overtime. You got contributions from guys like Aaron Gordon, from guys like Christian Brown, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who was the key player at the end of all of this. But essentially, the game came down to this. Nuggets were up 1. The Timberwolves inbound the ball. Anthony Edwards throws it away. With 8 seconds on the clock, you're up by 1, and you've got the ball. Why would you not just hold it? Instead, Russell Westbrook goes for a layup that misses, comes down the other end. Nikhil Alexander-Walker shoots a 3 that misses, but Russell Westbrook fouls him in the act of shooting. And I spent all night trying to figure out, why did Russell not just hold the ball? Because even if he does score that layup, they're only up 3. The Timberwolves then have a timeout, a chance to advance the ball, and 8 seconds on the clock to score a 3-pointer and potentially have a 3rd overtime. Whereas, you know, if you hold the ball, you could take some more time off the clock. You could dribble it down a little bit, maybe have 6 seconds rather than 8. Go to the line, knock them both down, and you've got a more chance of winning.
You have to answer that question. I mean, yeah, these are questions you have to answer. You know, I don't know. What do you think? Tell me, what do you think?
Time and score. Maybe he wasn't aware of time and score. Maybe he got the turnover. Comes down, you got a 2-on-1, gives the ball up to Christian Brown. And then, you know, if it's a dunk instead of a layup in that situation, you're pretty much guaranteeing the bucket. Maybe Russ, at the age of, how old is Russ now? What, 36?
He has to be somewhere around there.
Maybe Russ went up thinking he was going to dunk that ball. And while he was in the air, it's a horrible feeling the older you get. You go up thinking you're going to dunk and you realize you've got to settle for a layup because you ain't got those bounce in your legs after playing a double overtime. And then maybe he kind of went off the ground and was like, oh, damn, I got to shoot a layup. Maybe that's what.
I have no idea. I have. It's a lot of scoring. If you like scoring, you know, it was an excellent game. You know, those are a lot of points. But, you know, I was like, ah, okay.
I liked it because the game had a playoff feel, though, because you could tell these two teams, after what happened in the playoffs last year, the Timberwolves obviously beating the Nuggets and advancing to the conference finals. You can see that there's some tension between these two teams. Not as much tension as there was against the Pistons, but you can tell that this game really meant a lot to both of these teams. The standings in the West, close as ever. Every game is crucial down the stretch here. With the win last night, Timberwolves maintain seventh place in the Western Conference. The Nuggets are third currently, still now only just half a game ahead of the Lakers. The Timberwolves are now just half a game out of the fifth seed. So the games are meaning a lot at this time of the year. The Warriors are half a game ahead of the Timberwolves, who are currently in the seventh seed. But Steph Curry, speaking of a lot of scoring, he dropped 12 threes on his way to a 52-point performance in a win against the Memphis Grizzlies. BJ, how are you looking at this Warriors team now? I think the record with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry together in the lineup is, I think they've only lost like two of the games that they've ever played together. How are you looking at this Warriors team as we look towards the playoffs?
I'm going to proceed with caution. I'm going to proceed with caution. Definitely respect those guys and what they do, what they bring. However, we'll see. I'm not completely sold that this team can beat, in a series, the OKC Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, and others. But I like what they're doing. And the first step, beat the teams you're supposed to beat. And then you, at the very least, you should be able to play 500 on the road, at the very least. So give this team credit. In particular, offensively, Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. I mean, they're doing what those two do. I mean, they are all-star caliber players. Steph Curry has an amazing night offensively last night. Do I expect him to have 12 threes every game? No. But you need those type of efforts if you're going to win. Because right now, the Memphis Grizzlies, there's a sense of desperation with those guys. I know they're slipping a little bit. Just what, a week ago, they were in second place. They make a coaching change. And right now, they are what? They lose what? Last three, four in a row,
Four in a
something like
row,
that?
2-8 in their last 10.
Okay. So, and that was a home game, which you want to win. And they're struggling right now. So give the Warriors credit. And
You mentioned they've got to be at least 500 on the road. Looking at the top eight teams in the Western Conference, right, in the playoff picture, they all have winning records on the roads, with the exception of the Lakers, who are three games below 500 in road games, and the Clippers, who are three games below 500. How much does that factor in into your prediction process as you look towards the postseason?
You are a, you're a numbers guy. I'm not a numbers guy. I just look at what these guys are.
It's
I
not
can't be a
numbers, it's
numbers.
wins and losses.
Okay, wins and losses. If I look at the Lakers and I apply that logic to the Lakers, I can't because Luka was just traded during the trade deadline. So about half of those games he didn't play. Okay, so I just look at the game and look, there are injuries that are occurring. These guys aren't available. They're load managing. They do a lot of different things. Who they're playing? What's the schedule? What's the matchups? So I look at the game. I don't apply numbers and then apply it to what the game says. I apply it to what's actually happening at that particular time. So, when I look at the Lakers, that doesn't apply to me because Luka wasn't there. Luka came and he was injured when he came. He still looks like he's fighting through whatever it is. I don't know if it's a back or elbow or something. So I'm just looking at it from game to game. LeBron missed what, about six or seven games in here because of an injury. So I think it's logical what I'm saying. So I don't apply those things to, and then try to have a this grand, answer for and apply it to all of the other teams. I mean, injuries happen. So let's see. Let's see the brand of basketball that the Lakers are going to play. They're still trying to figure it out. However, I think they would be the first to tell you they're not playing their best basketball of the season, but they're playing well enough to win games. And that's always a good sign because they're not
Absolutely.
at full strength right now.
Yeah. Let's just go back to the Grizzlies for a second, right? because, you know, they made the coaching change and so on and so forth. Yesterday, a quote came out from an anonymous GM. And I hate when they do this, because if you're going to say something, stand on it and put your name on it instead of hiding behind anonymity. But he said something that I wanted to get your thoughts on. He says that he doesn't think you could win many playoff series as with Ja Morant as your best player. He said, does he sell tickets? Yes. Is he a top 25 player when healthy? Yes. Can you win multiple series as the best player? No. Not sure most years you can win even one. Plus, he is always hurt. So we all know how talented Ja Morant is. But do you agree with what this general manager is saying in terms of essentially winning a championship with Ja Morant as your number one guy on your team?
Well, first of all, that's lazy reporting. That's lazy journalism.
Yeah.
So you want me to come out because we do our show and people can see, people will know. I'm not going to respond to this. I'm done with narrative reporting.
I
That's
think it's a
lazy.
fair question.
Yeah,
Is
that's
can you win a championship with Ja Morant as your number one option? I think that's a fair question to ask.
okay. So what's your answer?
But my take, I don't think so. The reason why I don't think so is having smaller guards as your number one option on the team historically in the NBA, with the exception of Isaiah Thomas and with the exception of Stephen Curry, there haven't been any teams to do that. And as great as Ja Morant is, I don't think he's in that same caliber as Isaiah Thomas or Stephen Curry. Therefore, if he's going to be the best player on my team, I don't think that you can win a championship. Now, obviously, other factors go into it, such as how the team is built around him, the style of play in which they have, injury luck in the postseason, matchups, so on and so forth. But if I had to give a yes or a no answer, I think the answer would be no. Especially because I saw a stat yesterday that let me find this stat I saw yesterday. And don't worry, it's not analytics, BJ. It's just facts. It's just facts, right? It's just facts. Well, I haven't verified if it's true, but it says games played since 2023. So in the last three regular seasons, Ja Morant has played 114 games. Zion Williamson, who we spoke about yesterday, missing almost all the games, has played 129 games. So his availability is an issue there. Whether it's injuries or off the court stuff, that's an issue there. So I can see the logic of what this guy's trying to say, even though he's hiding behind, oh, I'm anonymous GM. But that's my take on it. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't have any thoughts about that. And the reason being is because of the following. What you just said, there's six championships between those two players alone. Just between those two alone. Okay. All right. So that's not accurate. Second,
Why is it not accurate?
you can win with smaller guards.
It's only been done by two small guards in the
Okay.
history of all the amazing small guards we've
Okay.
had in this league.
Up until another guy, you could never build a team around a two guard, they said. Until someone does it, the impossible becomes possible. That's how it works. So the logical way of thinking, when I look at the NBA, and I've sat here for years now, and I said this the following: where's the creativity in the roster construction and the basketball philosophies of how we play, with the exception of probably Pat Riley and maybe a few others, right? You know, when, you know, the San Antonio Spurs, everyone else literally plays the same exact way. Think about that. There are 30 teams in the league, and over 20 of them play the same exact style. So the creativity that is in the NBA right now is probably at an all-time low as far as their style of play. Everyone shoots threes. Everyone runs a five-out offense. We switch on defense. And there are a few exceptions, right? You know, Denver Nuggets, they play a different way because of Jokic. But for the most part, everyone else plays the same exact way. That's why I'm applauding my Detroit Pistons. This is because we play a different brand of basketball than the others. Now, some of them, I understand, like your Boston Celtics. I understand why they shoot a lot of threes. I do. Why? Because their team, they have the personnel to do it. But I've watched a number of other teams throughout the years, and you question why. Why? You've heard me say the following. It is important for you to be able to play downhill due to the rules of the game today. So why wouldn't you have a smaller guard or some guard that can influence the game and play screen role and do those things? Why wouldn't you? But that's another discussion. So that anonymous person, whoever said that, here's why. Because we've seen players. And when you have a player that can affect the game, you don't just cancel that player out by saying, well, this is not what my philosophy is, and this is not what I want to do. Therefore, that player won't be able to contribute to the game. And because I know right now, we, and I say we, as a league, the majority of us are playing the exact same way. Pace and space, five out. Offense, switch everything on defense, and we want stretch everything, stretch four, stretch five, so forth and so on. Now, I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying people, and I don't put people in a box because until someone does it, that's why you play. Well, the stats say such and such shouldn't win the game. Yeah, you're probably right. That's what the stats do say. However, we see upsets all the time.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's why we play. So that's fine. If that's what that executive says.
Well, I think, saying that a small guy can't lead a championship team, I don't necessarily subscribe to that because, as you said, until it's done, it's still possible. But if I'm looking at the NBA right now, I'm looking more at Shea being the point guard of his team and being the best player on his team. Is way more likely to lead his team to a championship than Ja Morant is to lead the Grizzlies to a championship.
Mo, every just 2 years ago or 3 years ago, John Morant was on the top of, they were the number one seed. I think they've gone in as the number one or second seed in the Western Conference. That's what they've done. I can't discredit what they've done. I've seen smaller guards like Allen Iverson. I know it's possible. I know it's possible. And not only do I know it's possible, it just takes the creativity of the leadership group to do it, right? Remember the difference between some of us is the following. You mentioned Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas, what that team and that organization was able to achieve, no one thought it was possible that you could build a team around a 6 foot player because we played in an era where there were big guys. The era was dominated by the bigs. We played the game completely different than what the game is played today. Instead of playing outside in, we played, or that era played, inside out. No one thought that was possible. Okay? So that same anonymous GM, clearly he was in that era too, said, you can't do that. You got to get a big guy and you got to play through the bigs and you got to have a post game and all of that. And then there was someone came around and said, I think you can. And they did it. No one thought that you could build a championship around a 3-point shooter. Because no one had never done that before. And then there was someone who said, it's possible, maybe you can. So as the game continues to evolve, like we're always, remember now your generation says, it's the old school versus the new school. Until someone does it and makes the impossible possible, that's why you play. So for me, I am not going to allow someone to put me in a box and tell me how I should watch the game when I know. I'm looking at the game. Okay, since we want to say facts, I'm looking at the game. 82 game regular season. I don't see much creativity, Mo. as much as we want to think the game is different, I don't see any new plays. I don't see any new philosophies. I don't see any new systems. And I don't see any way the creativity that Don Nelson and some of these others were utilizing players. Just to name him and Lenny Wilkins and all of the things they were doing with guards. I saw some people utilizing guards in a different way that I haven't seen in years.
Can you share an example of something that you would maybe want to see?
No, because I don't want to share example to the anonymous. I need that person to come forward because I'm not lazy. I actually work at it. Okay. I actually work at my craft. So the anonymous people, and then me give you the information, and then they'll take the information and then try to put it in their own words when they don't truly understand it. No, I'm not doing that. However, I will with our fans. So if our audience wants to know, I'll be more than happy to share it with them. But I'm not going to do that because when you watch this stuff, you start realizing, why play then if everyone understands? Why are we punishing smaller players who play the game? You know, I played against some of these guys, right? You know what I mean? And for instance, why would Muggsy Bogues play based on the logic that you just laid down? No. Why would we punish the smaller players? Chris Paul, we saw him get to the NBA Finals, right? He was one of their primary guys and for the Phoenix Suns. So we know it happens, but it's difficult. It's difficult. However, if you look at the game today and the way the rules are really tilted for the smaller players to benefit. Oh, is that why they call it positionless basketball now? Okay. So I'm not buying in what these people are saying because I know that's not true. And as I just go on my mental Rolodex here, I'm going, you know, what GM would say that about another team, another player? They wouldn't. You know why? Because you know what? There isn't a GM, if given an opportunity, that would not take a job where Ja Morant was on your team. Well, hey, you tell the owner, he's offering you the job. Well, no, Ja Morant's not good enough, so I think I'll pass on that job. No one's doing that. Okay? So I'm not buying that. I'm not buying what they're saying. And like I said, I just now I am that level of reporting, I'm not going to even stoop there. It's not worth my time. It's just not worth it because I know with absolute certainty that that's not true. And I'm not going to even allow myself to think that way. I'm not going to allow myself to put limitations on people, players, and more importantly, myself. No, I know I can figure things out. So creativity is part of my process. And I'm not going to allow someone to put me in a box telling me what I can and can't do. And I'm pretty sure that person probably never played before, whoever that is.
Well,
at any level.
Shams, if you're listening, state your source. That's what Jaylen Brown says, state your source. I really hate people who hide behind the anonymity. Anonymous NBA scout says this. Anonymous NBA coach says this. Anonymous NBA GM says this. I think it is really cowardly for them to do it, especially when it comes to criticizing a player. I don't mind if it's an anonymous GM saying, we would love to sign this guy in the summer. Because you can't come out and publicly say that. That's a time where it would be okay to be anonymous. But if it's something negative and criticizing a player, then I think that you should speak with your chest.
I don't have time to criticize whatever. What I will say is the following. Do I think it poses more challenges to do it around a smaller player? Yes, clearly.
Yeah.
It's.
No, I think clear. It can be done. My point is, I just don't know if Ja Morant is the one to do it. Did you get what I'm saying here? With the way this team is built and the other teams in the league at the current time.
But listen what you're saying. Listen to what you're saying, though. Just listen to yourself right now.
Yes.
Yeah, I think you can do it, but I don't think Ja Morant is doing it the way the team is currently built. Well, wait a minute. What you're really saying is, let's talk about the executives who are building the team. Ja Morant's not building the team.
So we said this yesterday or the day before. Yeah. I like this team better when they had Steven Adams and they was crushing the offensive rebounds and they was locked in defensively.
Instead of why are we using the player? The player's job is to play.
Yes.
Why is his name even brought up if you don't believe the executives who are, that's what they're paid to do. Let's put the executives and the governors and all those people and say, I don't think this is the right group to build a team. Why are we benefiting and they're going to throw his name into the picture where he has nothing to do with it? Nothing. He's not in there drafting those players. He's not in there telling them the business model in which they should operate under.
He's not telling them to fire their coach with nine games left.
Okay. So why are we? That's just lazy. So, let me just put his name in there because he's the star player. And then let's just put, no. This is what makes me upset about this is that I'm not going to allow people to attack. I say this, and maybe you get it and maybe you don't. I don't have to throw other people's name to feel good about what I'm doing. No, Ja Morant is a player. He's a wonderful player. He's a wonderful player.
Absolutely.
By any era in what he's able to do. Now, if the executives and the governors and the advanced scouts and all these people, if they can't come to a conclusion to figure out how to do it, let's say that. Let's hold them accountable. But let's not let someone say, an anonymous source said, and then we're going to put the star player's name in there, and then the narrative is, no. No. That's no. Not here. Now, if you want to do it, Mo, that's on you. I'll be quiet. Everyone's entitled to their thing. However, on my clock, no. Say what you really mean. The executives there can't do it because I know it can be done.
Absolutely.
I don't think it can be done.
My thing with Ja Morant is like he missed all the time for the suspension and all the off-court stuff. He was 23 when it happened. I don't blame a 23-year-old kid for that. I'm saying like when all of that happened, I'm like, who are the people around him? Who are the people in that organization and so on and so forth? I'm not blaming a 23-year-old kid for that. Right,
guys,
I'm not blaming him for missing time with injuries either. It is just what has transpired, right? The last two seasons, he's not been available. So
the only thing that can be said is we in this world will all agree the following. It poses more challenges to build around smaller players because the smaller players, right? You have to have a more level of understanding of the game when you have a smaller player because bigger players can affect the game traditionally in a way that we've all seen before. Where the smaller player, it poses more challenges. If this person is not creative enough to figure that out, so be it. Just say that. Say, hey, I don't understand how to build a team. Say what you don't understand. I don't understand how to build a team around a smaller player. Fair. It wasn't like everyone now wants to tell me after the fact and point out to, well, look at the team and look at the records and look at it. No. I'm just old enough to know that you guys weren't building teams around guards up until the 90s. That's a fact. That's 1,000% accurate. Until someone gave it an opportunity and said, I think I can build a team around a guy who scores a lot of points. No, it's never been done before. You can't do it. You got to have the bigs. You got to have a shot blocker. You got to have, okay. Until someone did it, and now that's the prevailing thought. So you look at the NBA now, what's one of the most coveted players now? The 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", wing player. And we call it positionless basketball and all of these things. Come on. Stop it. Stop with this nonsense. There's nothing positionless about when you play a game. And then how many times do you hear players saying, well, you know, I don't know my role on this team. And then we make trades every year. Why? Because the position list didn't work over there. What? Why? Why? Because we have a position for you over here. We have a role for you here. But how positionless basketball, and we develop players. Well, okay. So you got a 6'6" guy who can get you 30 a night. You can't work with him? Well, nah, come on. Come on. Stop it. Stop with this nonsense, Mo. I have totally lost patience with all of this. And I'm not saying you, but let it go. Just let it go by me. I'm okay with that. If that's your position, do you. Do your own thing. What I am really, I've lost my patience with is the nonsense that you know is in the game. It makes me now where I don't even want to watch the game anymore is because I don't want to hear what people have to say about it. Let this young man, John Morant, be the best version of himself. Well, who gave this person the authority to even have that take? Who gave him? Oh, and then you misconstrued and no, like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with him being a young player? What is he? 20, what? 23, 24? What's wrong with that? Like, whatever it is. But if we're going to be a team, let's be a team. Because I haven't figured out, or I haven't, at least to my knowledge, I haven't seen these players with 100% accountability constructing these teams. So let's talk about that. All right. I'm sure they got rid of Steven Adams for a reason. I got a pretty good idea of why they got rid of him financially. It's always finances. So just call it what it is. They're a smaller market. Do you play Steven Adams or do you play Jared Jackson? It's fair. It's a fair mark. That's a fair
And
question.
to be fair, they've done well in drafting Edie, because I think Edie can be really good.
Exactly. So they have a financial model that they have to adhere to. But for some guy to come by and tell me it's all on John Morant, okay. I happen to be a Dillon Brooks fan. I like Dillon Brooks. I like what he brings. Okay. They've done some things. You know, Jaren Jackson, he's been in and out. He's had some here last year. You know, those guys came back, whatever the case may be. But stop with the just share to the people. We owe this at least to the listener, the entire story. Stop it with the just using these players and then throwing them under the bus for no reason at all, and then standing back, throwing, you know, rocks, and acting like, well, I'm just reporting. Sources say, no, like these are wonderful players. And here's the one thing that I know. They're trying. They're trying. And I want to be responsible. I know they're trying. Now, does it come, you know, are you always successful? No. But at least they're trying. At least John Morant's out there trying. So
Yeah, well,
give him
this is
national
why we have to
credit.
do this, you know, to provide context to the audience.
Well, but I think what we have to do also is also be responsible and accountable to the things that we're even going to present. That's not even worth, in my opinion, it's not even worth my time for me. Somebody like that, it's not even worth it. Because
I hear what you're saying, but this was actually sent into the Discord, and some of the Discord community were having a conversation about it, and I thought, you know, if people are going to hide behind anonymity, someone's got to step up and stand on what they really think. And if everyone else is too scared to do it, we're going to do it. That's my process here with keeping it 100 for all the fans who watch these games and follow this league.
Well, I would just hope that if you're going to be in the business of dealing with young people, right? I would hope that we are prepared to deal with the problems and the concerns that people deal with in today's world in real time. So if you have a wonderful young person, regardless of position, regardless of whatever, that you as one of the leaders or mentors, if you're fortunate enough to be of service to young people, that you are equipped to give them the guidance if you will, if these people are trying to be the best versions of themselves. When I see people tearing other people down, then that's when I just like, that's the biggest turnoff for me. Why work with young people, regardless of your position or your title? Why do you have to tear someone else down to feel good about yourself? Why? What's the point? These are young people. Well, the only way you can learn is from experience. So, you know what? Believe it or not, Mo, I've probably experienced more failure than I have positive things. And the reason being, Mo, is because that's how you learn, right? I miss more shots than I made. That's a fact. So, what? All of a sudden now you can't win with a guy who's only 60. Well, Mo, I'm here. I contributed. Okay. So that way of thinking to me is just so out of place that it just has no time for me. We're dealing with young people. If you are a head coach in this league, you are here to serve others. If you are an executive, you are here to provide a service to others. You're building a team. It doesn't make sense to me. That's called leadership. So if you're going to lead, I'm going to give you an option. Lead, follow, get out of the way. Be concerned with your team. Build your team. But let's not start this thing of going down a path or telling me about another team. Mo, no, you're not in that locker room. And I don't even believe that person really exists, to be honest with
You think
you.
Shams are making it up?
I don't know who reported it. That's for you.
Shams
I don't read
reported
it. That's
it.
for you. I don't know who. I'm responding to Mo. I'm holding Mo accountable for this one. I don't care who reported it because I'm not there. That's not how I get my information. I talk to the 30 teams. So I don't need the whatever, wherever you got your information from. I don't need that.
Inside the Memphis Grizzlies shocking firing of Taylor Jenkins article on ESPN, reported by Ramona Shelburne, Tim McMahon, and Michael C. Wright. And then they've got a picture of Shams on the front of the article. So
Yeah,
between the
I don't
four of
know.
them, they have done their
I'm only holding
ESPN.
Mo Muncy accountable. Mo is the only person. I got my information from Mo. Wherever Mo got it, that's Mo's business. I'm holding Mo accountable. I'm on the Hoop Genius podcast.
You can join the
Okay.
long list of people waiting for accountability from me, BJ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And
That's a
I'm holding you. So whatever else has happened, that's between them. You guys, I'm coming directly to you. And I want to know why you would give me that question when there's no accountability. And we know that's not accurate. We know it's not accurate.
What do we
So
always
why even
say?
go there?
We got to give the people what they want. If that's what the people are talking about,
No, no, no,
we
no,
got to give
no.
our side.
No, there's the people, and then there's our people. Our people, that's not how our people do. That's why they roll with us. Because if they wanted to hear what the people were saying, they would go somewhere else.
But
You're
that's
coming
why
here for us.
we're here explaining the
No, that's what I'm
truth of the
saying.
matter.
So I'm coming at Mo right now because I want to know why Mo would say that. Why Mo, of all people, would say that.
So that we can share the other side of this conversation. Because at the moment, you have one-sided reporting coming from those individuals of that organization. And here, as somewhat teachers of the game to the audience, right, we have to provide context, we have to provide insight. And therefore, if the audience is being told on one hand, this perspective is necessary for people like ourselves to provide another perspective. And we do it in an informative and entertaining way. And here we are.
Well, on tomorrow's show, let's have a pre-show. So that we'll know, because the game is a beautiful game played by beautiful people all around the world. And just because they choose to say things like that and report that stuff, so be it. However, highlight the beautiful things that happen in the game. Like competition, for instance. And we just glossed over that with what happened with our Detroit Pistons. We just glossed over that. We glossed over the fact of what the Pacers, they got the spicy pea dance or whatever. We just gloss over things. So there are other things happening in the league that are very positive. Okay. And we gloss over these things. So what I want to do is get back to the essence of why we started this show, which is to highlight the beautiful things that are happening around this league. And if other people want to sit here and report and then have four or five people, if that's what accurate, I don't know if that's accurate or not. You
I'm
got to have
just
four or five
reading what it
people.
says on the screen right
Yeah.
here.
And if that is their way of doing it, so be it. However, why are we sitting here talking about what the other people are doing? If they're going left, we should be going right anyway.
Well, I'm looking forward to watching the
Yeah,
Thunder
so
Pistons game
tomorrow we're going to
tonight.
reverse the roles. I'm going to come in tomorrow with the questions.
Okay.
I'm going to host the show
Oh my God.
tomorrow. Yeah. And then
Oh
that
my,
way,
I
so
finally
we
get a
can
break from
change.
hosting
Yeah, so that
663
way,
episodes in.
no. Well, Mo, clearly, what we don't want to do is we don't want to go down a path where we're going to start doing things like the other people. No, that's it.
I'm actually really excited for tomorrow's show now. Are
Yeah.
you going to do the intro and everything?
We can do whatever. It's going to have a totally different feel.
Okay.
It's going to have a totally different feel. And the reason it's going to have a feel is because when you see these young people, minus the leadership and all of the things, this is what you get is chaos. This is what you get. Players want to be coached. I've never met a great player in any sport who didn't want to be coached. Never met a great player. Why? Because it's necessary to reach your potential. I can't blame today's youth because I look at the adults, because I am an adult, of saying why they feel the way they feel. I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I understand why they feel this way because of that. Now, if that is what the other people are doing, go to that place. But here, no, we're not gonna start allowing people to take shots at young people for no reason at all. No, not on my clock. No way. No way. No
Okay.
way. No
Well,
way.
tomorrow's episode will be very fun. I'm looking forward to it already. BJ, appreciate you as always. And yeah, shout out to all the listeners. We appreciate you rocking with us. We'll be back tomorrow with more. So subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast from. If you want to join the conversations in our Discord server, the link is in the description. And we'll be back tomorrow with more. Until then, get buckets.